Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. Great to have you here on a Thursday. Good day. Really good day. Let's get it. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. All right. I am hyped. Lots of show for you today. Let's get right at it. Telephone number is toll free. I've got two interviews in. The first interview is coming up at 9:40, so you should jump in right now. Most importantly, it is a beef day. The beef segment on a Thursday. I think you know that by now. What you do not know, Thursday to Thursday, is exactly when we're going to do it. We're doing it at the top of hour number two, so you're already on the clock. What that means is you need to start dialing right now. You need to start emailing me right now. You need to start hitting me up on Twitter right now. You need to start with your beefs right now. We need a run-up. We need to set it up. Normally, it's later in the program, but the way it sets up today with the interview is we're going to do it at the top of hour number two. Have I made myself clear? Hit me up right now. Dial 1-800-636-8686. What is your beef? I don't care what it is. Honestly, it can be about sports or not sports, the show, not the show, your life, your work, your friends, your family. I don't care. I'm here for it. Anything you want. Anything you want. Hit me with a beef. Hit me on the phones with your beef. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me on Twitter with a beef, at Jim Rome. Email me a beef. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The beef segment at 10 o'clock. Prior to that, the head coach of the Houston Cougars basketball team, of course, is Kelvin Sampson, but not just the head coach of the Cougs. They're top ranked. They're number one in the nation. Kelvin Sampson, what an amazing job he's done there. When he took over that program, it was dead in the water. There was nothing there. Now he's got them ranked number one. Yes, it's December 1st, but that in and of itself is amazing. Kelvin Sampson at 9:40, coming up in hour number three. The new head football coach at Nebraska, Matt Rhule. And in the middle of that, a beef sandwich. Top of hour two. Had a great conversation with the icon, the alleged GOAT, Joe Montana. I'm a huge Joe guy. Had a great podcast conversation with Joe Montana that I want to reset for you a little bit later on, too. So these are all the things that I'm looking at. And again, I want you to get going right now so we can set that beef segment up for the top of the second hour. And because it is beef day and we're beefing early, why don't we just start talking about another beef? And remember, when you're sending chalk, the beefs, multiple paragraphs, don't do that. Send them tight. Set it up, knock it down. We are going to beef the top of hour number two. So what do you say we start the top of hour number one with a pro football beef? Because we've got some fresh Angus between active NFL players this week, and it's not just between any two dudes. I'm talking about beef between a $230 million alleged franchise quarterback and a member of the 2010s All-Decade team. But to set this all up, we've got to go back to that press conference. That press conference gem that Kyler Murray dropped on Sunday, right after the loss to the Chargers, instead of taking responsibility for a critical fourth down INT, Kyler passed the buck once again, and he blamed it on the scheme.
Schematically, I mean, we were kind of.
That's incredible. Like, I still can't believe that quote. We've had a lot of good post-game quotes at pressers so far this year, but that one might be the best one to date. Quote, schematically, we were kind of effed.
Schematically, I mean, we were kind of.
Your quarterback said that. Schematically, we were kind of effed. After that same quarterback threw a critical pick. Never mind throwing Cliff under a bus. He threw him under the bus, backed over him a few times, threw him off a cliff, and then went down and lit him on fire. Aaron Rodgers coming off the field and scolding Matt LaFleur like he's a child is one thing. But Kyler Murray coming off a critical pick late and saying that schematically we were kind of effed is something entirely different. That's different level material. I mean, that's an incredible quote for team content, but an absolutely terrible look for team Cardinals. As if team Cardinals could look any worse right now. So that was the quote that had people talking, including former teammate Patrick Peterson, who's got a pod with Darren McFadden, and they were discussing that very quote on All Things Covered, their podcast this week, and this is what they had to say about it.
Yeah, you think Cliff Kingsbury may be the scapegoat in regards to their struggles?
It ain't no maybe. He will.
He will be.
Yeah, he will be.
Uh-huh.
He will be. And the crazy thing about it, the guy who hired him will still have a job.
Yep. It sounds about right. Initially, I was thinking that they probably would stick with him because of the contractual agreement he has. But now just seeing how bad they've been. And
man, they fired a coach after a season, man.
Yeah. And he signed that extension last March. But see, just verbally now, vocally, Kyler Murray is talking about, and I don't like how he's doing that. I think he should keep some things privately, but it tells me he doesn't care about his head coach. And he's putting everything on the head coach, basically saying
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray. That's just a matter of the fact.
Well, I got it. So... Hey, I can't argue that. I don't know him personally. You played with him for a few years, so I got to take your word for it.
Uh-oh. P2, quote, Kyler Murray don't care about nobody except Kyler Murray. That's just a fact.
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray.
Quote, end of quote. Like, I didn't think it was possible, but I think the P2 just one-upped Kyler's. We were schematically kind of effed when he said Kyler Murray don't care about nobody except Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray.
I mean, damn, that's spicy. Spicy as hell. Because that's not just a high-profile, active player going in on an opponent. Peterson and Murray were teammates for 2 years. Peterson and Murray were Cardinals captains together. Now, I'm not saying that Pat Pete is Pat Perfect. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that Pat Pete is not guessing or assuming anything here because dude knows the vibes in that building because dude was in that building. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't have an axe to grind, but I am saying that he was in that building. And he knows the vibes, and he's saying that the vibes are that Kyler is all about Kyler and only about Kyler. And the thing is, watching Kyler, listening to Kyler, it's pretty hard to dispute that, right? And this is coming from a dude who hyped him hard. Hard. And that dude is me. So at this point, how the hell can you not be alarmed about Kyler and his act? And it's got nothing to do, of course, with talent and ability. Nobody's ever questioned that. And nobody's questioning that right now. Not even Patrick Peterson. He's not questioning that right now. No one is saying he's not a baller. Nobody is saying he's not a freakish, one-of-a-kind athlete. However, many are questioning Murray's professionalism and his accountability and his ability to lead. And right now, those are all fair questions. And that's why he just got flamed by Pat Pete. Again, maybe Peterson has got an axe to grind with the Cardinal organization or Kyler Murray personally or both. But at this point, it is nearly impossible to defend Murray. You can't just dismiss this as one bitter ex-teammate with a podcast to promote. Not when you remember that Murray is the same dude who was totally humiliated this offseason when the team put in the first ever mandatory study clause into his contract. A clause that actually required him to study game material for 4 hours per week in order to receive a, quote, credit. A clause that actually said that he was not allowed to study while he was distracted by the TV, the internet, or video games. I mean, hell, I wouldn't even put that clause in my teenage son's contract. And believe me, he needs it. I should. I mean, it's something you would do to your kid. A teenage kid, right? they had to put a video game bit of language in my dude's nearly quarter of a bill contract. Hugh Freeze's social media contract language cannot believe how absurd that is. Like I said yesterday, parental controls didn't want any of that. If you have to draw up a contract that includes language that says your new head coach and program leader cannot access his own social media platforms, then maybe you should probably stop drawing up that contract. Man, can't you just see Hugh like this, like in the facility, just Twitter searching himself? Obviously they can, or they wouldn't have put that in the contract. And if you have to draw up a four-hour-per-week study clause in a $230 million quarterback contract, maybe you should be ripping up that contract too, especially when you still have years left on your current deal. But, the Cards wanted the guy, they wanted the deal, they gave him what he wanted. And by the way, they even ripped that clause out of that contract. So where does that leave them? You would think that this would be the biggest wake-up call ever for Kyler. Not only a wake-up call, but a call to shut everybody up. A call to prove everybody wrong. A call to show I am that guy. That no one is more prepared. No one is more accountable. This is a guy who, or I am a guy who owns everything. Leads from the front, puts the organization on my back. It's all bullcrap. You know, the type of thing that $230 million franchise quarterbacks do. But that's not what's happening. Far from it. No, what we have here is a bleep show. A 4-8 bleep show of a football team, and Kyler is blaming his failures on the team being schematically effed. And you've got a high-profile former teammate proclaiming that Kyler Murray doesn't care about anything but Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray.
So let's just say this is not good.
Not good.
This is below not good.
Below not good.
This is bad. This is really bad. It's looking more and more like this train in Arizona is going to derail any second now, if it hasn't already, and it's going to cost guys their jobs. Because clearly Kyler is not doing anything to own it or defuse it. Not when he's clapping back on Peterson on Twitter the way he did. Kyler clapped back saying, quote, "This isn't true. You want some weird bleep at P2. You got my number. If you really felt like this as a, quote, big bro or, quote, mentor, you're supposed to call me and tell me, not drag me so your podcast can grow." End of tweet. I mean, like I said, this is some prime Angus beef. Problem is, he's not the only one saying it, my dude. Hence the study clause in your contract. And it doesn't really seem like Pat Pete sees himself as your mentor or big bro. It sounds to me like he doesn't like you at all. Hate to say it because this here has always been a huge Cardinals house. But that whole organization right now is, quote, already down. DeAndre Hopkins also tried to fight back on Twitter saying, hey, man, you don't kick a guy when he's already down. And notice that Hopkins did not say, Nuke did not say, what Peterson said is not right. He said, you don't kick a guy when he's already down. Seems to me the entire organization now is already down. Bottom line, I would tell like Jets quarterback Zach Wilson that he needs to take a hard look in the mirror, but I'm not sure that would even matter because I don't know if that guy can even play. But I know that Murray can. I know Murray can. I just don't know whether or not he's capable of doing the hard work on himself or capable of the self-introspection that he absolutely has to have right now. Kyler, my dude, this is not just one disgruntled former teammate coming for you. You are supposed to be a franchise quarterback, the face of the organization. You were drafted at the top of the draft to be just that guy. They're paying you to be just that guy. It is time to start acting and leading just like that guy. Stop blaming everybody else and start owning everything. Just because they can't fire you like they can other people, including the head coach, does not mean that you're not at a serious crossroads. You are. And if you don't know that, that means you're never going to figure it out. And the fact is, some guys never do. My man, take a look in the mirror. It's go time. You need to have a sense of urgency about this and stop passing the buck and stop blaming everybody else. Lead from the front, dude. You are at a crossroads. And yes, I'm a little bent. I was one of those guys front and center backing this guy, hyping this guy. But he's let down way more important people than me. 1-800-636-8686. It seemed only natural to start a beef day with a big-time beef in the NFL. Where do you come out on this? Where do you come out on this? Legitimate beefs, or does Patrick Peterson have an axe to grind? And does he have his own issues that he should be worrying about? Where do you come out on this? Cardinal fan, what do you think? Football fan, what do you think? That is some prime Angus beef right there. Between a couple of former teammates and big-time players. 1-800-636-8686. And you know what? Somewhere, Charlie is saying, what about me? What about me? I'm not wrong. I wasn't wrong.
Not good.
Yeah, my man Charlie Casterly somewhere is going, yeah, what about me? Do I get any freaking credit? For real.
Credit.
It's not good. It's below not good.
Below not good.
Quote, we were schematically effed.
Schematically.
Didn't we have this whole conversation last week when talking about Zach Wilson? That, like it or not, it's the job of the quarterback to own everything. Whether it's your fault or not, it's your fault. You just do. It's hammered into these guys since day one. Like Josh Allen has not played great of late. And he's like, hey, man, it's on me. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. Whether or not it's your fault, you just say it's your fault. That's pretty much the job. The job is not to say, hey, man, not on me. We're schematically effed.
Schematically, I mean, they kind of, we were kind of.
I mean, that is a stunning post-game quote. Stunning. So where do you come out on that? I hate to have to do that because this is a big Cardinals house, but come on. Also, additionally, got an update on the U.S. men's national team. Come to find out, our star player, quote, was not hitting the balls. His quote, not mine. Sorry, James Kelly. I know you so badly want that to be the kick in the stick heard around the world. Christian Pulisic said, I was not hitting the balls. It was a pelvic contusion. There is a difference. Still, I don't know about his status for Saturday. We're not sure. He may or may not be good to go. Team USA going up against the Netherlands. In addition to that, more drama involving Cringerous. Every single day it's something new with the Broncos and Cringerous. Cringerous, Cringerous, tomato, tomato, all of that. So, listen, I want to be very clear about this. The beef segment is at the top of hour number two. The reason I'm hammering that so hard is it takes some time to set up because it's a monster. It's a great segment, but it takes time to set up, and we don't have as much time to set it up. So you want to start dialing right now. If you have a beef, call with your beef, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me up on social media with a beef, do it at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Or just hit me with an email, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Kelvin Sampson at 940, Matt Rhule at 1120. Beef segment, top of hour number two. Quick question. Why is Old Trapper so amazing? Why don't we start with the fact that it's a family-run business, a family business which stands by quality and produces what I consider the world's best beef jerky. Do not be fooled by others who try and tell you the same, because all beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you make the right choice. Choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper, because they use only the best ingredients from their lean strips of beef, that are seasoned with top quality spices to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And it does come in four amazing flavors, so you have your choice. Myself, I bounce back and forth. I love them all. That's why I like to load it up with a four-ounce bag here, a four-ounce bag there, whatever I'm feeling in the moment. If you know what you want, just get the 18-ouncer. That way you've got enough for the entire unit, team, family. If you do not see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Damn, Albie. All right, so I'll need some more time to set this up a little bit later on, but further evidence that there is dissension inside the locker room for the Denver Broncos. Apparently, only half the team showed up for Cringerissa's birthday party. Are you kidding? This is how you're determining whether or not there's chemistry or there's an issue on that team? That there might be some guys who have an issue with Cringerus? Never mind, look at his play. Never mind, look at how cringy he is. No, let's look at who said yes to his birthday party and who said no. Are we in third grade? I mean, this is the kind of conversation you have, not just with teenage kids, but with third graders. You have to invite that boy to the party. Son, I don't want to. He had you to his party. You have to invite him to your party. I don't like him. I don't want to. But this is what's going on now with the Broncos. Incredible. Hey, by the way, I'm not even going to lie. It also goes on for adults. Let's just be real. I would say within the last year, Dr. Jano has hit me with that a couple of times. We need to go to that birthday party. I'm not going. I'm at a point in my life right now where I put my foot down. I'm like, I'm not going. They came to your 50th. I'm like, why wouldn't they? I had a great party. I'm not going. They came to your 50th. You need to go to their 60th. You know, I'm not going to their 60th or their 70th or their 80th or their 90th, all right? I'm just not going. Let me tell you something. Wouldn't it stand a reason if I'm, or you know what I'll do? Actually, I will say that. All right, no, let's negotiate this because everything is compromise. I'm not going to their 50th, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll commit to their 90th. That one I'll go to. Yeah, but how do you know that either you or he or they or any of us will still be here? I don't. But I've been eating cleaner. I'll go to their 90th. Anyway, this is actually a thing. That a number of guys didn't show up at Cringerus's birthday party. So therefore, there's dissension. Yeah, I don't think I need to take a head count of who was there and who wasn't there. I can look at the fact that, quote, he has more bathrooms in his house than he does touchdown passes. That's how I know they've got a problem with him. Not who did or did not attend. I'll get to that later on. Hey, Jim, Kyler was schematically correct. Quote, it was 100% scheme. Signed, Coach Penis.
That's 100% scheme, Brad.
War not taking Mahomes over Trubisky. That is 100% scheme, Brad.
That's 100% scheme, Brad.
Mahomes?
Schematically, I mean, they kind of, we were kind of.
I can't stress this enough. I mean, if you're Tom Brady, if you're Aaron Rodgers, if you're Joe Montana, you know, maybe, and even then you don't. That's Kyler Murray throwing a pick late in the game that was really costly, being asked about it afterwards and not saying, you know, that's on me. That's on me. I got to make that play. That's on him because we're schematically effed. That is an astonishing statement.
Schematically, I mean, they kind of, we were kind of.
1-800-636-8686. 1 second. There. Thank you, Albie. Dear Jim, I think Kyler Murray needs to become a little more introspective and try to be more of a leader before he really loses the locker room. This is really embarrassing for someone deemed as the face of the franchise. Sincerely, Russell Wilson. And finally, Jim, if Pulisic didn't take the knee to the package, then George Foreman didn't name his kids after himself. Nick and Erie. He's not saying that that's not what happened. He's saying, quote, it wasn't like I got hit in the balls. He's saying I had a pelvic contusion. It's a real thing with real pain, and it really put him in the hospital. But as much as it disappoints you all, and most notably, James Kelly, it was not a, quote, kick in the stick. There is no such thing. There's no official
kick
medical.
In the stick.
There is no official medical diagnosis known as a kick to the stick. Bigger question would be, is he going to play or not? And if he's going to play, how effective will he be? Jimmo's. The fact Cringerous had a birthday party is cringy in itself. Did they pin the tail on the donkey? Nailed it. Nailed it. Exactly. The point is not who did or did not attend. It's the fact that in a year this horrific, Cringerous is even having a birthday party. That is so true. And did they play pin the tail on the donkey? Edward and Weak Take Lake, dude. You don't even need to sign that like that. There's nothing weak about that take. That is the take. Strong take, Lake. The fact that Cringerous had a birthday party is cringy in and of itself. The fact that any adult has a birthday party is cringerous. But the fact that that guy is having a birthday party in the midst of a season this horrible is extraordinarily cringerous. This is why he's cringerous. Because he does things like that. I mean, you can't have a birthday party. One, adults should not have birthday parties. Again, bringing Dodger Jano into this, the gals, they do this. They constantly have parties for themselves. And I'm like, good, have fun. Do that. Just know that the fellas and I, we never do that. We do not have birthday parties for ourselves. I don't know what that is. Except Cringerous does, apparently. In the middle of a season that's gone to hell. I just never could I ever imagine getting on the phone with my boys and going like, yo, let's all get together and go out for my birthday. I think that stopped when I turned 21. In fact, I know it did. We did it for 21. Anyway, when we come back, I'm getting all worked up over this, and I shouldn't be. It's not my deal. It's not my problem. I'm not in any of these locker rooms. I don't care. What am I so worked up about? I'm worked up about adults having birthday parties, especially Cringerous. And I'm worked up about other adults getting worked up about only half the adults on that team going to the birthday party. Who the hell cares?
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is a huge day in the jungle. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Once again, the beef segment. What is your beef? Top of hour number two in about 20 minutes from right now. So you want to call 1-800-636-8686. Coming up in hour number three, the new head football coach at Nebraska, Matt Rhule. But as promised, we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Houston, ninth year with the Cougars, two-time National Coach of the Year, a couple of Final Four appearances coming off back-to-back AAC conference titles. The Cougars are not only 7-0, but they are ranked number one in the country. They play St. Mary's, and that game is on Saturday. Kelvin Sampson is my guest. Kelvin, it is so good to have you back. How are you, my guy?
Jim, it's always good to talk to you. If I'm on the Jim Rome Show, that means my team's doing pretty good. So it's good to see you, brother.
And you always say that, my guy, but that's not true. Your team is always doing well. However, your team is doing extremely well right now. You're number one. And that's the first time that program has been number one since 1983. Cool in and of itself, but how much better is it, Kelvin, that it was your daughter, Lauren, who informed you that the program is top ranked?
That was cool, Jim. That's one of the things that I'm proud of, the culture that we built here. But being able to do it with your son and your daughter playing such vital roles just makes it special. Karen and I, you know, we talk about our blessings, how lucky we've been and how things have fallen our way. And we've been able to be in some great places. But I was locked in the staff meeting Monday morning. And when I finally came out, Lauren was walking toward me and gave me a high five and said, "Hey, we're just ranked number one." Then she goes, "That's pretty cool." I said, "That's pretty cool, isn't it?" So that was a good moment.
I love that. Kelvin Sampson joining us. Kelvin, you know, I understand that there is a ton of work still to be done, but it really is astonishing what you've built there. You and I have talked this entire time since you arrived. When you think back to what you inherited and what that program was like then and what it's like right now, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, it was probably in worse shape than I thought when I got here. You know, when the Big Eight and the Southwest Conference merged to form the Big 12, and they took four Texas schools. It was the Texas schools that were in the Southwest Conference that didn't make it to the Big 12. That was kind of got caught in no man's land. And so you started bouncing around conferences and you wind up in Conference USA, you know, and that just never resonated with the fans here. The basketball program just continued to sink. Prior to my arrival, they had four coaches in 16 years. So when we got here, the first thing that we had to do is we had to get the administration to buy in. And I've always thought, you know, players and coaches win games, but administrators win championships. So my vision was, you know, I put it out there. How are we going to win a championship? And then here's how we're going to do it. So all coaches have a vision when they go in, but unless the administration buys in, it's not going to happen. So building the practice facility, which was a $25 million investment. And then right behind that, flowing right into renovating old Hoffines into the Fertitta Center was kind of a centerpiece. But, you know, I give so much credit to especially Mac Rhodes, who hired me and got it started. He left for Missouri, I think, 4 months later. And then Hunter Yurecek came in right behind him, and Hunter finished it. And then he left to go to Arkansas. And now we have Chris Pesman. But Hunter and Mac are the ones that did all the heavy lifting. President Couture, Renew Couture, our president, signed off on everything. But, you know, that stuff doesn't happen, Jim, to everybody. We got lucky here and that people believed in us and we're able to get them to buy into our vision. And then we started winning. You know, the year that we was out of the Hoffines as they were renovating, I think it was a 16-month project. We played over at Texas Southern, some games in front of 100 people, some games in front of just our families and cheerleaders and band. I was like that the first 3 or 4 years. Now, when you look at it, you know, we've sold out our arena last 2 years. We have a waiting list for season tickets and it is a sense of pride, and I'm so happy for our fans and our alumni, the people that care about this program, that they have something to be proud of. Because whatever you accomplish is done together, and it's done for other people. And as long as you remember that, that it's about giving this program to the city of Houston and letting them be proud of it. And that's something that I'm proud of.
Kelvin Sampson joining us, the head coach of the Houston Cougars. They are top ranked. You know, in addition to all that, Kelvin, I appreciate everything you just said. I also know that you've got a great deal of pride and appreciation for the players that help you build this thing to get it where it is right now, which brings me to this current group. How much are you enjoying coaching this particular group of players you have?
It's a great question, Jim, because I love them. I really, really love this team because they love each other. We have 12 kids on scholarship. We have a scholarship we did not use, and I have one to walk on. So we have 13 players. They're never late. They're always on time. Their attitudes are always the right attitude. Our best players are our highest character guys, and they're all high character guys. They work hard. We have weaknesses. We have some areas that we have to continue to work to shore up. But the two things that I push most wherever I've been is your attitude and your effort. And I would give this group an A in both categories. Our best player is Marcus Sasser. Marcus is just quiet assassin. He has a joy about him that's kind of magnetic. He doesn't say a lot. He's very quiet. The guy that talks a lot. We have two guys that are talkers. Jamal Shedd is a talker in a good way, and so is J1 Roberts. But the rest of these guys, they just get along. They're all going to graduate unless they go pro, and they're all going to be great. So nothing but love for this group. This team is a good team. Now, whether we can, get better, there's a lot of battles out there to be fought. But I'm really enjoying the journey with this group.
Kelvin Sampson, my guest. Kelvin, I understand it's only December 1st. I mean, I'm going to be very clear about that. It's only December 1st. I think it's an amazing accomplishment in and of itself that you're top ranked, but it is December 1st. You're top ranked. Do you feel like you're the best team in the country right now?
No. No. And if I was, I'd probably say no, but we're not. I just watched. I don't know that I want to be the best team right now. There's a lot of teams that hit their ceiling early, whereas I'd rather hit our ceiling late. I watched Arizona, for instance, play in the Maui Classic. I watched Creighton. I watched San Diego State in that tournament. Those are really, really good teams. Purdue, Connecticut. Duke's going to get better. I watched Indiana last night play North Carolina. I think Indiana's outstanding. So there's a lot of teams that's probably ahead of us right now. And we realize we're not arrogant or cocky over here. A lot of times you get ranked number one because of where you get ranked in the preseason. The teams ahead of you lose, you move up. That's the way it is. So it was just our turn. When we lose, and we will lose, somebody else will take our turn. But, it's a sense of pride. Our fans should feel great about it. It is a great accomplishment. The way we earned it's the way everybody earns it. We're not going to stay undefeated, obviously. And the team that follows us, North Carolina had it. They lost. We have it now. When we lose, somebody else will get it. So it's a rental property. And we're going to cut the grass and take care of the flowers and keep the house clean until somebody else gets it. Then we'll move out.
I love the analogy. It is a rental property. So, Kelvin, one more thing. You've been on the other side of this many times. And again, it's early. But let me ask you this. Right now, you're top dog. Would you rather be a top seed or would you rather be the team getting ready to play the top seed?
Whoa, that's a good question. Well, last year, in the last 5 years, we've been all over the place with our seeding. I think last year we were a 5 seed, and we played the Big Ten champion, and then we played the Pac-12 champion. And coaches will look into any nook and cranny for a way to motivate their players. If you're the 1 seed, that means you're really, really good. You're unbelievably talented, and you're good enough to win. But if you're playing those guys, you can use that to your advantage. So I don't think I've ever been a 1 seed. So I'm probably more comfortable being the guy that in the locker room where you're getting your kids motivated to go knock somebody off. So I'm good with both, though, Jim. If we're your 1 seed, it means you're good, right?
That's it, Kelvin. Like, we used to talk about this when we owned a lot of thoroughbred racehorses. We'd go into a race as the favorite, and we'd kind of sweat that, like, wow, we're even money. But we would tell ourselves, better to be even money and the one to beat than to be 20-1. Better to be in that spot. He is the head coach of the Houston Cougars, 9 years in now. And what a turnaround. I mean, they are top ranked. They are 7-0. They've got a big one coming up on Saturday against St. Mary's. Kelvin, I appreciate you. I appreciate that accomplishment. And it's always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for doing it.
I always appreciate you, Jim. And I'm proud of you too, brother. I remember where we both started and battles we've had to get where we are. So much love.
Much love and much respect, Kelvin. I appreciate you saying that. And well said. Well said. You're right. We both have overcome a few battles. Kelvin Sampson on top of the world right now. He's top ranked, and what he inherited and what he has built and what he has developed is, I want to say miraculous, but knowing the man, the way I know the man and the way he works, I'm not surprised, but it is an amazing accomplishment even to be where they are right now on top, 7-0 and ranked first in the country. My thanks to Kelvin Sampson. All right, when we come back, the beef segment, which means fire it up, get it going. 1-800-636-8686. Call me with a beef. The beefs on the phones have been really fairly ionic the last few weeks. A little slow out of the box today, though. 1-800-636-8686. Also on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Remember, the thing about the beef segment is you can beef about anything you want. Anything at all. Sports, non-sports, whatever you want. Hit us up. If you want to go old school and just email me a beef, I will take that too. We'll take the break. When we come back, there will be a giant plastic tower of beef on my desk to my left, and we're going to let it rip. Coming up in hour number three, we'll talk some Nebraska football. The head coach there, Matt Rhule, will be joining us. Also, because it's Thursday, Jim Rome's Big Head Bets pushing out after the program. James Kelly and I are going to break down seven games. The Pro Football Doc will add a couple of his own. Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. The podcast drops after the program. All of that still ahead. Don't go anywhere.